But we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples chatting here with City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy. And we're just talking here during the break here about what some items on the consent agenda that will be discussed or will be passed here this evening. And let's get into some of those if we could. Well, big one is item M, I guess.
Yeah, this is the first phase of our annual street maintenance program that's funded through the special 2/10 sales tax that was approved by voters. We're recommending award of a contract to T&M Concrete Construction Company of Junction City for some concrete maintenance phase one in the amount of $653,100. The primary areas for these improvements will be up on Plymouth Road from Kimball to Londonderry, Geary Avenue from Lombard to Churchill, Trees Mill Drive from Londonderry to Stonehenge, and Candlewood Drive from Abbey Circle to Newberry. Again, this is just the first phase of that. There'll be some additional phases with concrete and also with some asphalt that will come about later.
Okay.
And then item H is another significant item. This is the design contract for our joint maintenance facility. So a design contract with Bowman CBN Architects here in Manhattan that have been working on some of the preliminary work on it previously, and then accepting the selection committee's recommendation of McCown Gordon Construction to be the construction manager at risk. And the next phase of that project is to go into preliminary design and pre-construction design services. So these are the contracts for both of those components and several checkpoints along the way as we work to provide better places for consolidation facilities and selling some of the current city facilities to help pay for them.
Okay. And then there's another item here, item K, I believe it was, and that is the Kimball and Browning drainage issue there.
Yes, we've had a stormwater project that's been on place, and we came to further light last year on that previous Kimball Avenue project there at Browning, where we had to replace an old culvert pipe that was collapsed and deteriorating. And we just did that underneath the street, but that pipe actually extended north along Browning Avenue quite a bit, and so that whole deteriorated pipe needs to be replaced. So this is a project to do that, and then we also have a benefit district project that we coupled with that that's a little bit further north on Browning that this would tie into. It's a 50-50 cost share between the City of Manhattan and the benefiting properties there. It's a total contract is $288,743. Recommending that with JK Contracting Company out of Junction City. $207,000 of that is for the city's project there that connects to Kimball. And then $62,760 is the benefit district project that's split 50-50. We also have, related to storm drainage, we have a request to have the commission pre-purchase some storm drainage culvert pipe for a project that's planned for this summer. And this would be also on Kimball Avenue. As you know, Kimball's going to be, we have several projects under construction. So this would be from where we started last year there at the Seth Childs northbound going east off-ramp and on-ramp, and go west underneath that past Reef all the way to Candlewood with a full replacement of that roadway. And then there's a big existing culvert that's underneath Kimball Avenue there right before you get to right at Seco Park and drains into Seco Park. This would be a parallel culvert that would help meet the capacity. Right now, if that that overflows and goes down Kimball Avenue to the east to the low point there, and with some of the heavy rains we had last year caused some flooding in that particular area.
Okay.
Because the kids are gone. No students here.
Yeah. Well, I've had another question here come in here, and they've got actually two questions here. A person named Greg who emailed us here. The first question, I don't know if you guys will have an answer to this one or not, but does the restriction of 50 people together affect the NBAF construction? They say there are more than 50 workers there every day.
To my knowledge, it doesn't. So it's usually an employment situation is where the employer can adjust those numbers to where they can manage the distance between workers and the condition of workers. So my understanding is that wouldn't necessarily apply to those individual workstations. It's certainly a recommendation for employers to take those factors into consideration. But it's mainly, those are mainly for the public at large gathering. Or events, public events to attend. So,
okay.
Well, I think it's a good question. I think one of the things is when you talk about MBAS, I mean, this is one of the areas they talk about, right? Epidemics, any kind of viruses, that's what they work on. So, certainly we can reach out to their leadership and see what they are doing about it. But I do know the way President Myers and the leadership at Kansas State University has been proactive in this, I would think that they have looked at all of those measures. But I think that is, a good question and see what's happening there, because they also go out and live in our community and make sure we are taking all precautions possible.
Another question they had here, and I just got my census form in the mail yesterday. The census day is April 1st. With the K-State students sent home, how will this change Manhattan official population?
So I have seen some communication in that regard from the Census Bureau. A lot of the campus housing is what's classified as group quarters. So there's a coordination with the K-State administration for the contracted individuals that are part of that. The challenge is going to be the other students that live off campus. So the Census Bureau is aware of this situation because we're not alone in it. I mean, virtually all the universities across the country have done the same thing. So I do know there's a lot of discussion about how to approach that aspect of it, and so I think there'll likely be more to come. Obviously, if the students don't return here to their apartments and get their mail, they wouldn't have got that. So most of those came last week or the week before, and so they're probably at home and their parents have gotten theirs. And so what we don't want them to do is to, even though the approach is to count them at home where they're at on April 1st, that's part of the messaging. I know the universities are trying to message that so that that's something they can get back for when they come. A lot of students are coming back because they did leave during spring break, planning to be gone the rest of the semester. So part of that will be to get their mail, and that messaging to them to complete those census forms will be very important.
Now, I think I've gotten a few emails about it, which I haven't had a chance to respond back with other things coming my way. But the other piece to this is we don't want them to be counted twice from at home and where they are on that April 1st. But this also impacts not only our students, but Fort Riley, our military, and where they're at. And also, there was a factor where people were going to go knock on doors to make sure we had that in-person contact to get the census numbers. Those people might drop off because we are trying to not have many people, that social distancing. And they might need to be at home with their families now, because most of these also were students that were going to go knock on doors and be hourly paid for this. So I think it's a huge challenge, an unforeseen challenge, and I'm sure they are working on some factors to deal with it, especially if you don't have people that can go knock on doors. Phone calling and online will get you so far, but there are a lot of populations that you need to actually go and have them you know, work on this issue. So I think that this is, like I said, uncharted territory, and probably work on it as we go along. This was not anticipated to be the way it is.
Right.
But those numbers are very critical for our funding issues, too. This is the time we need more accurate numbers than ever before, because we need those funds in our communities more than ever to take care of some of the challenges we are facing currently.
Good questions there from Greg. We appreciate that. And again, the City Commission has their meeting tonight, 7 p.m. City Hall. And of course, if you want to participate in that, they stream those online as well, cityofmhk.com/TV, on their Facebook page as well, and on Cox Cable Channel 3. Ron Fear, Mayor Ushready, we appreciate you being on here today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
All right, that'll do it here for In Focus, Dave.
Inspiration to expert advice, Carpet One of Manhattan. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan. This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kaith, and it's quiet on Wall Street, and that's unusual after days of turbulence stoked by the coronavirus. Yesterday's nearly 3,000-point Dow drop was one for the record books. Right now, the Dow's up about 186. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says there's hope for new clarity from Washington.
Investors are seeking more details of a potential package coming out of Washington. Rumors are swirling that there could be as much as 8